Okay, this is our third try. What we are still at or starting again, Matthew 6. Happy Father's Day, by the way. We love technology here. If it gets much better, we're going to be slanging it out the window. Okay. But not because we're mad, just for entertainment purposes. Okay. We're not going to act on our anger. Okay. 6 and 9. In this matter, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, we know that Jesus, and we talked about it during communion this morning again. We know that Jesus was on a 3.5 year path to the cross. Every step that he took was a step closer to the cross. And as he, in this most religious time, this can't walk this far, you have to stop this far. The way it was described to me, because I actually talked to some Jewish people and then to some Christian Jewish people or some Messianic Jewish people. But what happened is, so you have the law. We'll just say this is the law. Then you build, it says do this. Then they build a fence around the law so you can't accidentally violate the law. Then they build a fence around the fence. And before long, they're telling you how far you can walk on Sundays, how far, or Saturdays, which was their Sunday, you know, whatever. Okay, I mean, it gets a little confusing for those of us who, are from the South. Anyway, but the point being is this, okay? He was on his way, and the first thought that came to me as I looked at this, you know, if he had never died for our sins, he healed people. He taught. He did great things, didn't he? I mean, he did. He made people think. He valued women. He valued men. He loved people. He socialized with people that religious people wouldn't socialize. He did some cool stuff, right? All right. And I love the t-shirt that has a caricature of Jesus reaching out and grabbing the basketball before it goes out and says, Jesus saves. Okay. But he saves, doesn't he? But that could not have happened, men, until this happened. And this is to the men. It's for everybody because it's true to everybody. Okay. But the first thing that happens is I remember years ago, somebody handed me something and said, that's a glow stick. And I go, what? It was kind of a little deal, and you're holding it, and this was for work. This was a real one. This isn't something you play around the house, okay? And I go, what? Where's the switch? Where's the batteries go in? I mean, something. You know, they said, no, listen to these words, because as I'm studying this morning, it has to be broken to work. Folks, Some of us have been through hell on a biscuit, okay? But I want to tell you, there's two things you can do. You can curse the process. You can live in unforgiveness of what you've been through, or you can say, I am broken, Lord. Let me be broken for your glory. Let me shine. And you will. He will honor that prayer. The second thing I thought about is when I was thinking about this, you know, because my mind doesn't work like yours probably, is there's another thing that is not any good till you break it. A pixie stick. Anybody ever have a pixie stick? I had about 1 million of them. When I was a kid, if one was so anywhere, I might take it. Now, I paid for a lot of them too, okay? But if you had one on your desk at school, I might go up by now. Might have been a sugar addict, okay? But anyway, the other thing that is not worth anything until you break it is one of those little wax Coke bottles with that nasty Kool-Aid in the middle that we used to get. And they're not any good till you break the top off of it. So are you willing to say, you know what, God? Here I am, a broken man. Here I am, a broken person. Here I am, I'm broken. Use me. Let me glow. Let me be the man. Let me be the person you call me to be. And I want to tell you, that's, as I look at this Lord's Prayer, and we pray it every week here. I pray it a lot during the week. It's just part of what we do. So the first thing about the Lord's Prayer is this. He says, Our Father. And he says that both in fellowship, but in reverence. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do you respect others? The first word I want to ask you is, are you respecting each other? Yes, we need to respect those in authority. Yes, we need to respect those, you know, whatever. But do you live a life of respect? You say, well, you know, the reason I don't respect is I don't get any respect. I'm going to tell you something. When you start planting seeds of respect, you will get respect. And you go, what? Yeah. The people who are the least respected are the people who show the least respect. You will be shocked. You know, when I was a kid in hanging around Smackover, Arkansas, okay, I lived there a little bit, but mostly visiting my grandma. One of the things that they used to do in Smackover, Arkansas was scrape their yards. You go, what? Yeah. They have a fence around their yard, and instead of mowing the lawn, they take a hoe and they scrape all the grass, and it's just dirt. And so you don't have to worry about cutting it. You don't have to worry about ticks, praise the Lord. Okay? You don't have, right? They actually scraped their yard. And I want to tell you something. And you look at that, and you think, that's crazy. But I want to tell you that the love, the respect, the thing that I met when I would, that I saw there in that as a child, if you planted that respect, pretending it's grass, you threw that out there, if you didn't get back after it doing this, guess what would happen? It would grow. So start today. Start respecting each other. Start respecting your wives. Start respecting your children, start respecting, show them respect. Did you know what God respects me so much? He lets me make my own choices. Can you believe that? I wouldn't. I'm not kidding. Now, don't get me wrong. He's sovereign, but let's begin to respect each other. So when we say our Father, that reverence and respect, but let's, of course, reverence him first. Seek him first. Okay. Second thing is, when I was reading this, I thought, you know what? How should we pray? Well, say, Our Father who art in heaven. We are initially, immediately going to someone who has something we don't have. The world right now is like, I don't need anything because I've got it all together. I've got this. Because we all got this plastic veneer. We got this Instagram and a fake book and all of this stuff. We don't need, I'm gonna tell you something, you need something. You need time with the Father. You need time with the Father, okay? And that is us, the act of prayer. And I never will forget years ago, studying prayer, not even this prayer, just prayer. The act of prayer says, I need something. Did you know that? It's saying, okay, I like, I hadn't got the good beats since they opened it back up, but I like Porter's. I used to hang out in there, okay, and get that chicken. Anyway, a good chicken. But anyway, I would not hang around there after I paid my bill. They might pick on me a little bit, and then I'd leave, okay, because I know the people in there. But here's the deal. I always went there because what? I needed something or wanted something, okay, right? Might be out of mayonnaise, okay? Whatever. Might be, no, I've never been out of hot sauce. That's never happened. But anyway, the point is this. When we pray, we are saying, Dad, I need something. That means we are in a lesser position, or we could be like the world is and said, you know, I am my own maker. I am this. There is no God. There is no, listen, you need something. Okay. Let's go to the Father. And now I want to bring this down for the fathers that are in here this morning. Realize you don't know everything. And you just fake it till you make it. Your mother's in here. You don't know everything. You single folks, you don't know everything. Let's go to the person who does know everything. Okay? So let's pray. Let's pray. Okay? The third thing is, when as we're saying these words, as we say, give us this day our daily bread, as we're praying that to the Father, I want to tell you something, guys. Providers. Men, the New Testament says it like this. Those who don't provide for their families are worse than the unbelievers. That's 1 Timothy 5:8. And I want to tell you, God has called us to be as men, be providers. Are you providing for your family? And listen, I know there's circumstances, all kind of circumstances all around, but I want to tell you, if nothing else, are we providing support? You say, well, you know, I don't agree with this. I don't agree. Will you be the man God's called you to be? Will you be the father God's called you to be? Will you be the mother God's called you to be? Will you be the human being that God's called you to be? Okay, because this is one of those, you know, those wrenches they sell on the late night is they'll fit any nut or bolt. They'll fit. This fits any person. Okay, any of y'all nuts or bolts. Okay. Sorry. Oh, wait, that didn't. Did it come out right? Okay. Maybe not. Okay. So, you know, when I was looking at that provider thing, you know, I've only read, this is not a joke, but I'm going to tell you. I've read Ruth. Okay, I don't want to give a number. A bunch. Okay. Many times. And one of my favorite parts of that story is where he becomes her kinsman redeemer. Because it's a picture. The Bible is full of what's called type and shadows, pictures of who God is and what he does and what he did on the cross and what he did for his people. You know, what's happening. There's pictures after pictures after pictures. Then there's pictures of the pictures. He goes, it's anyway, another story, another day. But the bottom line is this. As being that father, being that provider, being that, listen, he not only provided for us that he knew us before we were born, but he provided a way to be with him forever as a kinsman redeemer. One of the songs, we were talking about music earlier, but one of the songs that we used to sing is I'm Redeemed. We might need to drag that one out of the vault somewhere. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed. In other words, I'm paid for. Because I'm going to tell you, we got a world out there pointing fingers at each other, says, well, you don't do that right. You don't do that right. You don't do this right. I do this right. I'm going to look at me. And listen, I'm slightly tired of it, okay? Maybe a little more than slight. But the bottom line is this. He is, as we provide as men, as we provide for as moms, as we are providers for our, he is that provider for us. Call on the name of the Lord. And this was a big part B on this point. It was very quickly. Listen, it's an eternal provision. He is holy, righteous, and wonderful. Okay. And that word wonderful literally means inexplicable. I don't have any words for God. Remember when he says, he's talking to somebody, and he says, they said, what's your name? He says, why do you ask that? It's too wonderful. You can't speak it with your lips. Yes, he's given us names to call him by through the years, but listen to in the word, but listen to me. He's more wonderful than you think he is. If you got God in a box, you need to let him have some air, because he's going to bust that box. Especially in these last days, the box, there's going to be an end time revival and people are going to go, What? I thought that was wrong. You better just get in line. Be part of the net that's get taking care of the end times salvation. So here we go. Then in this prayer to our Father, he says, forgive us our debts. I want to tell you that, so I'm going to draw you a little picture for your mind, okay? I want you to take a gallon jug and put it up here. Here's a gallon, okay, there's the camera, there's a gallon jug. Put your little spigot on the bottom of it, okay? And then you got a pint that, we're not making moonshine. Carrie, relax. We're not making moonshine, we're not stealing your recipe. Okay. Oh, I just said it on film. Okay. So anyway, but the point being is then you've got this little pint jar down there. So this is you, the gallon jug. You're the gallon jug, and people are coming by and they said, I need help. I need help. And you're turning that knob and you're filling up their little pint and then you're handing it to them. This is not moonshine. Okay. Have I said that already? Okay. So, and you're putting a lid on it for them and said, not for sale, not for sale. Okay. All right. But anyway, but the point being is this. Watch this. Will this gallon jug get empty, although it's a lot bigger than the pint? Yeah. Won't it get empty? After 16 pints, maybe? I don't know. I've never, that's different math. Whatever. After a few pints, it'll get, Math are hard. Math are hard. Okay, but anyway, but I want you to think of that. That gallon jug is you as a believer, you as a person, you as a human being, and you're helping, and you're, but I'm going to tell you what will happen. Eventually, you'll turn that, and if there's not something coming in the top end of that, you will be empty. Okay, and I want to tell you something. Your Heavenly Father is never empty. He's up here filling up the jugs. But he will not force the jug. And I want you to understand that I always know when I have not spent enough time with him. Because I turn that knob for somebody's pint and something come out of there ain't so good. Okay, it's getting a little gravelly down at the bottom. Okay, but as long as I am saying, God, take that, just pour into me. I've always got, and I may not even know where it came from. I know, I said, that looks different, you know, but God knows what he's doing, don't he? Yes. So are you allowing him? I'm going to tell you, you live in a blessed time, and this is not a joke, what I'm going to tell you. You can listen to it. You can read it. You can watch it. You can, you know, and you say, I literally listen to people and say, I would listen to him. I said, I'm going to tell you something. If I go to Porter's and I buy a 3-piece, and I get the bone-in chicken, there's not one time that I felt like I had to eat that bone. Not one time. Now, I may gnaw on it, but if somebody's saying something and you say, well, that ain't right. This is pretty good over here, but that ain't right. Throw away the bone. You don't have to crucify them. You don't have to say, well, you know, all he does, he's got a jet plane. I don't care what he's got. You know? My motorcycle costs more than some people have at their house for years overseas. They would look at that motorcycle, and it's now 12 years old. They'd say, oh, he could sell that and give that money to the poor. Is that what we talked about last week? See, we've always, well, he's got a jet plane. Well, she's got this, and she's got that. They got this. I don't care what they got. What I care about is, are you putting the meat out? And I just cut that bone out, or maybe not. That's pretty nasty. Okay, but right? So we live in a great time. There's teaching, there's preaching, there's all kinds of stuff that you can get. But make sure you're following it in the Word. Look at the Word. Bounce it off the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit bounce. But anyway, okay. So literally, we ask for help, and then we ask for forgiveness. And I want to tell you this up here. If you haven't received forgiveness in your gallon jug, you ain't got none for nobody. And I'm going to tell you something. You know why I'm nice to y'all? Some of y'all don't deserve it. But you know why I'm nice to y'all? It's because God is so good to me, and my jug is full. And I'm going to hand it out like, I'm going to spread it like my grandkids spread peanut butter. I'm going to give it. I'm going to give grace because I've been given an enormous amount of grace. I'm going to give love because God has loved me so much He gave His only begotten Son. Are you following what I'm saying? And I didn't deserve any of it. I deserve death. So, and the last thing, he says, don't lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to be careful with this word. But we need to look to the Lord for our hope and our deliverance. He is our deliverer. It's not this ministry. It's not another ministry. I want to point you, listen, I want to pour in your jug, but listen, realize all that is coming from Him. And let's go to the source, okay? Make sure that you are seeking Him. And as we seek Him, guys, I want to tell you, it's becoming very interesting. The times we live in, it's becoming very interesting. I got about 4 minutes left. And we're going to quickly go to Luke 15 for my second point. That was my first point. How y'all like that? Had a few sub-points. Okay. See? Y'all were scared. Fear not. Luke 15, 11. I'm going to not take the time to read the whole story. But I'm going to tell you this. Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after he journeyed, the son gathered all his stuff, journeyed to a far country, and wasted it with prodigal and riotous living, which means not good stuff. Okay? This was not a bad deal that he made. This was not a bad real estate thing that he lost that money. This was not, he invested in Bitcoin and lost $500,000. This is not any of that. What this is this. He used that for whores, alcohol. That's when you look up this word, that's what it was. Okay? And you go, oh my Lord. Why would you even say that, Bruce? Because that's what it says. If God didn't want you to know that, He wouldn't have put that in there. Okay, and if we don't talk about it, we just glaze over the top of it. Okay, you know, he might have, okay, for some of y'all, he might have spent all that for vanilla wafers and just ate them, set them all, ate them up. I'm just kidding. Chocolate chip cookies. We're not going to talk about food today. My grandkids are in, I'm starving. Okay, but when he spent all, there's, you know, circumstances, stuff happens. You know what? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, which would have been a non-Jewish community. And he's running hogs. And he's just think of it this way. He finds himself in the place he never thought he would be. Okay? And if you ain't been there yet, it's a big hog pen. Okay? And he was so hungry, he was thinking about eating the hog food. And then verse 17, he came to himself. And he said, my dad has a bunch to eat. I will rise and go to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. I love this story because it's my story. It's my story. And I want to tell you, the reason it's my story is not because I didn't have good teaching when I was a kid. It wasn't because I didn't have good parents when I was a kid. It's because I'm slightly hard-headed. just very, just around the edges. Okay, just a little bit. Kind of like when you cook the brownies too long and they get real hard around the edges. Why do I keep talking about food? Because there's no motorcycles going by. Okay. So, anyway, so I want you to get this. Verse 20, he arose and came to the father, and when he was still a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He repented to his father of sinning against heaven, but the father and his servants, he had him bring out the best robe, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Very quickly, I'm going to run over this for you. And this is I'm going to call this second point, the heart of the father. Number one, he honored the younger by giving him what he wanted. He knew that he would never learn until he let him do what he needed to do. God knows everything, don't he? And I want to tell you, until you've eaten dirt for supper, you don't know how good tuna fish is. Okay, now I've not had to eat dirt, but I just want to make sure. Yeah. But the point is this, guys. The bottom line is I have suffered, and now I know what it's like not to suffer. So I have a great appreciation. Does that make sense? For being in God's will. So he honored him by giving him what he wanted. And sometimes the thing we think we need, and and we get it, and we're like, oh God, please, I need to do something else. Anybody else been there? Yeah. Got two t-shirts, different sizes, some of us have to go around the mountain more than others, okay? Because some of y'all are hard-headed, okay? But then I want to tell you something. Second point is very simple. The son, as everything goes to goes bad, okay? As everything goes to things not working out exactly the way you wanted to. Has that ever happened to anybody else? Things didn't work out exactly like you thought. You had it all planned out. And things didn't work out that way. Has that happened to anybody else? Well, in the middle of that, he remembered the nature of his father. Because the devil is a liar. He will come and say, well, the reason this happened is because God did this to you. And God did this. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve. The devil's been lying a long time. He's fairly good at it. Ignore him. Believe what I'm saying this morning. He is a good, good father. Does things work out like we always want them to work out? No, they do not. Okay, because I've told people in this building, if you just do what I tell you to do, it'd be better. Because I'm so smart. But then, I love this. He remembers the goodness of the Father, and he starts walking home. Right now. Right now. If you're here, if you're on there, start walking home. Start making choices to come to the Father. And you say, well, I got to quit this. I got to quit this. Listen, he didn't have running water. He could take a good bath and get a shave, or I don't know what they did back in those days. But he couldn't get cleaned up. He didn't have nothing to get cleaned up with. But what he had was the ability. God gave him the strength to walk home, didn't he? And God will give you the strength to go to where you need to go. And the devil will be saying, well, he's going to cut your head off when you get there. No, that's not what happened. Because the nature of the Father, while he was yet afar off, you say, Bruce, I'm afar off. While he was yet afar off, God the Father ran. I have nothing else in the Bible anywhere that shows God running. Because see, he don't have to run. He knows it's going to be there when he gets there. Because he's God. But the nature of, remember, he leaves the 99. They're safe. That's motion, but this is the only one that I have where God ran, and it was for a lost sheep. It was for a son that was outside of where he needed to be, that he needed help. And I want to tell you something. God still runs. You say, well, it don't seem like he's running to me. I want to tell you something. Life ain't easy for none of us. Okay? And if you want to ride with me for a while, well, no, I don't want you to. But the point being, you'll see some that are having it rougher than you are. So, but when he was a great way off, out of his compassion, it says, God ran, the Father ran to him. And what he brought with him was this word. It's one of my favorite spiritual words. It's one of them. So it's not all of them. It's just one of them. Restoration. And I'm going to tell you about a restoration. I used to drive a 1967 International Scout. Had a big dent in the side, had rust around the back end of it. My uncle had one that he had to put a boat gas tank on the top because it all ran out and run a hose straight to the carburetor. But don't worry, it's safe, you know. It had no top, had three different size wheels on it, but it was fine, okay. But the point being is this, did you know what's happening now? I talked to a man on the phone day before yesterday. He was talking about my Scout. He also had one. He said, you know what that's worth now? He said, they buy the shell for $20,000, rebuild it, now completely put together. They are, some of them, in the area of $200,000 put back together. Because it's restored. And in most restorations, it's better than new. I've rode in 57 Chevrolets that run a lot better than the original 57 Chevrolets. Okay, I didn't have it. It wasn't mine. I was just riding in it. But you see what I'm saying? And guess what? He had a switch on there. He could turn it on. It was air conditioned. Okay? Because it was restored. And I want to tell you something. God is restoring his people. Will you be one of those people that he does these three things? And I'll tell you real quick, and I promise I'll be done, which means nothing. Okay. The first thing he did here, remember, put the best robe and put it on him. I want to tell you something. I'm going to try very hard not to holler. I'm not serious. My righteousness, the robe of righteousness that I wear, is in spite of me. It's in spite of what I've done. He has restored me to rightness, right standing, rightness. And I want to tell you, I got clean clothes. Now, this is mostly clean. But in the spirit, my robe of righteousness is pure because Jesus paid the price. He went to the closet and pushed back death, hell, and grave and reached in and got my garment and brought it to me, and he placed it on me. And you say, well, yeah, you don't do this right. You don't do that right. I don't care. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm born again. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because the Word says it. Because the Holy Spirit has better born witness in me that's true. And yeah, I do some good things by accident occasionally, but here's the deal. I've seen perfection, and it ain't you. I've seen perfection. Y'all are good folks, okay, because y'all hang around here. If it's some other people, it's crazy. But anyway, the bottom line is none of us are righteous. No, not one. Is that what the Word of God says? Okay, so anybody want a robe this morning? I want a robe of righteousness. And I want to tell you something. I try very hard to keep it out of the muck and the mire. And, you know, I'm trying here. Okay. But the second thing, people don't like. But I don't care. Send hate mail to somebody else. So the second thing is, he put shoes on his feet. And what that stands for is giving him the ability to walk the walk he's called him to walk to. Walk the walk he's called him to walk. He will give you, is it a walk of perfection? No. No. You're not going to be perfect, but he's going to give you the strength, the ability, the knowledge to walk the walk he's called you to walk. And allow him to put those on you today. The robe of rightness, okay? Then the shoes, okay? And of being able to walk this path. And the third one is the one people really makes people mad. So if y'all in the getting mad mood, keep your hands in your lap. No fruit, please. Okay, but here's the deal. The third thing that he did, and this is third in my list, but it's actually second on his list, he put a ring on his finger. He put a ring on his finger. You say, oh, he was just decorating him. No. You know what that was? That was the family credit card. And I'm wearing a ring this morning that says Black Sheep Harley Davidson's for Christ. And I'm going to tell you what that means. That means that if I'm in California and I need a couch, I got a couch. If I need a meal, I got a meal. If I broke down, I need a truck. You know why? Because I have brothers and sisters all over the United States that wear this same ring, that wear that same patch. And a lot of people don't understand that in the motorcycle culture. They say, oh, you know, thugs, you know, whatever. I'm sure there's been a lot of mistakes made. But the point I'm saying is this, guys. It's a covenant. And that ring represents the covenant that I made with them. But guess what? He's put a ring on you. And it's the master's covenant. And listen, we need to study it, spend weeks on it, spend years on it. Let it be a part of your life. But also, it also means I don't do anything to disgrace this. I don't do anything to disgrace this covenant that I have with him. If I can help it. Okay, we all fall. But anyway. And then the last thing was it was time to party. And guys, I want to tell you, the Father, I studied this years ago, and I'll be done. We don't know how to celebrate. We only know how to celebrate debaucherously. It falls over here. We only know this. But I want to tell you something. As Christians, people should say, my God, I want to hang around them people. They are nuts. Okay? They're having a good time everywhere they go. When it's hot outside, they say, woo, praise the Lord, it's hot. You know, whether it's cold, praise the Lord, it's cold. Because we should have the attitude that our Father who art in heaven is taking care of us. Is he?
Yes.
All right. And 2 years ago, today? The 18th, 2 days from now, Carrie was on her way here, right? Or was that Leroy that hit the, no, that was Leroy that hit the deer. Oh, Jesse. So, but you had a wreck two years ago on your bike, and she's walking, talking, almost as normal. She's actually a little more normal than she was before. No, so, sorry. But I mean, I'm gonna tell you guys, God's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
So say this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Have a good Father's Day. And remember, the Father. Have a great day.